It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Music runs deep in the extended family of Dexter O'Neill. Hip-hop R&B star Usher is his first cousin, and the late legendary Bloomington jazz and R&B pianist Delmar Brown is his second cousin. Dexter O'Neill and his band The Funk Yard play jazz up front in downtown Bloomington Friday night. He sat down this week with GLT's John Norton to talk about his early love of music and how Bobby Blue Bland saved his life.
You know that she lied. Come on! You know that she lied. You know that she lied.
So you're listening to a recent performance of Dexter O'Neill and Funk Yard. It was at the Contemporary Arts Center in Peoria. We've got Dexter O'Neill in studio right now. It's great to meet you.
Well, John, thanks for having me.
It sounds like you were a music freak at an incredibly young age.
I'd say that my mother and my grandmother pretty much noticed it and nurtured it. So I got my first guitar at 3, and probably that was the first time I sang in front of an audience.
Do you have a story, something they noticed, and was like, well, we got to give Dexter a guitar? Were you doing something at 1.5?
I just think it was the fact that nobody in my family could do it, and the fact that they noticed that I could.
Really?
Right.
Oh, so I was guessing you came from a very musical family. I
love my mom, and she might get a little embarrassed by this, but she can't clap on beat, and she can't carry a tune in a bucket.
But you're from Louisiana.
I am from Louisiana.
Faraday, Louisiana. I had to look that up. It's in the east central part of the state, right on the Mississippi River, right?
Right.
Everybody from Louisiana plays.
Right.
I've had like Tab Benoit from Houma. I've had Buckwheat Zydeco from Lafayette. Yeah. They're like, you know, when there's a party in Louisiana, you just bring your instruments. That's just what you do.
You better believe it.
But not
my
your family.
My family did not. My family were farmers, and they loved the party, but they were going to the party, not providing the music.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Faraday just a little bit. You left by age 5. Yeah. What kind of memories do you have of growing up in Faraday?
See, the unique thing about my family is that I was born when my parents were in their freshman year of college. And so my grandparents pretty much raised me for that first 4 years. And then when my parents decided to move up here because of opportunities, my dad had got signed to the Kansas City Chiefs. And there we had a big deposit of family that was in Bloomington, and my mom had no desire to live in Kansas City. And so I spent, my grandfather wasn't willing to relinquish his son as he saw it, right? He said, I'd raise this boy, he was mine. And so he would come and get me every summer. And so as soon as school was out, he would drive up, he'd be here less than 24 hours, he'd get me, take me back. And I'd spend every summer in Louisiana until I was about 16, 17 years old.
Oh, so you have great memories of Louisiana. So, well, I mentioned Buckwheat Zydeco and Tab Benoit. Now, Tab's more of a blues guy with a Louisiana tinge, and Buckwheat's more Zydeco. Right. I don't know what's up around Shreveport, Louisiana, or New Orleans, it's its own thing. What was it like around Faraday, Louisiana? Is there a type of music?
Yeah, so it was blues more than anything. So it was either gospel or blues. And you'll notice when I say this. So our Trinity from Faraday is Mickey Gilley, Jimmy Swaggart, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, are they all from that area?
All from Faraday.
Oh, wow.
They're cousins.
No kid. Well, I know Swaggart and Jerry Lee were cousins.
Yeah, and Mickey Gilley. Yeah, and so they're all cousins. And so ours was more honky-tonk, more blues, which is indicative of the Jerry Lee Lewis style. And so that's kind of where, you know, he came up playing in the juke joints there. And so in my house, being my grandmother's house at the time, we had gospel records and B.B. King and Bobby Blue Bland. So those are the only secular music. So when I got to meet Bobby Blue Bland, I was on 10 because he was my salvation from listening to gospel all the time. Yeah,
Bobby Blue Bland was just
phenomenal.
When you met him, did you get to play with him?
No, I didn't get to play with him, unfortunately. But I did get to share my stories with him and how he saved me. You know, I love gospel music, and I grew up playing it.
Bobby saved you?
Yeah, because that was the only records that my grandmother would let me play.
Oh, I see what you're
saying.
That's
the only secular music that was in the house.
Okay.
So the only secular records in my grandmother's house was Bobby Blue Bland and B.B. King. The rest were gospel.
So I then interrupted you then. I'm sorry. Sure. So you were talking to Bobby, and you were telling him how he saved you.
Oh, yeah. I was saying he was the only music I was allowed to, secular music, to listen. One of the two artists I was allowed to hear in my grandmother's house. So every summer, you know, and you remember summers back in the day used to be like almost 3 months long if you were out of school.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a long time to be somewhere and not be exposed to secular music.
Oh,
right.
Man.
So, so he just thought that was he thought that was hilarious. And he said, yeah, that's the country for you.
And since we've got to be, yeah, Leslie,
Say what?
I love you. I say there's nothing wrong with me loving you. No, 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 no. And you're giving yourself to me can never be wrong.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton, Dexter O'Neill of Dexter O'Neill and Funkyard in the studio. We're talking about his gig coming up on the 30th at Jazz Up Front. When you moved to Bloomington, at least during the winter and fall and when you're going to school, right, you're singing at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church here in Bloomington. Yes.
That's home for me.
Yeah, that must have been quite a revelation for you, coming to a brand new place, right? And, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's a strange, and they've got this great gospel choir.
They've always had great gospel choirs. Yeah. And so I always thought it was fortuitous that I came from one place that was programming me for music to come to a place that was great at it, and that they encouraged singers. And we had a huge deposit of family there, and I always tell people jokingly that I had so much family in Mount Pisgah at the time that it was easier to point out the people who weren't related to me than the people that were.
Oh, literally blood family.
Yeah, blood family, no doubt.
Okay.
And so, you know, as everybody did their migrations from the South up north, a lot of them were headed to Detroit for the Ford Motor Companies and things like that. Well, the trains were really big here. And so a lot of my great aunts, great uncles and stuff like that were great. They were plumbers, electricians, and they had those jobs. And so they when they got here, there was so much work here that they just stayed. And so my family, they became almost Underground Railroad-ish, and that because of ISU, they would provide housing for a lot of my relatives as they came up, and they would go to ISU. Okay. So from Louisiana. So it was like my parents were actually married in my great aunt and uncle's house in Bloomington. Right. So it was so much family that it was Mount Pisgah was that it was an extension of my actual family. So and a lot of my family, cousins and friends, and they all sang, but mostly church. Nobody had an aspiration to be a singer beyond church, though.
Dexter O'Neill, our guest here on GLT Sound Ideas, Dexter O'Neill and Funkyard at Jazz Up Front here on the 30th. Funkyard. I mean, you're playing some funky music, but it's jazz, it's soul, it's a lot of different things that you incorporate. Let me ask you first then, where did you become a jazz guy? How did you become introduced to jazz?
So I had mentioned earlier that my dad was, he played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's your dad's name?
William O'Neill. He actually was principal of Bloomington High School for about 12 years and was in the Illinois school system for about 32 to 36.
Okay.
And so my dad was a jazz fan, and because he was in Kansas City with the football, you know, he got to meet like Count Basie.
Oh, man.
And Duke Ellington and a lot of those guys. And so my dad was into jazz, but my dad was not a player. He was an avid listener. So I grew up listening to jazz because it was one of my dad's passions and loves. So when I got into school, it was more about and learning music. It was more about choral music and those things coming from this area. But then when I got into high school, I had a great jazz teacher. And a great choral teacher who inspired me to study jazz.
Who was that?
Tim Pinkham was his name.
That's at Bloomington High?
Yeah, he was in Bloomington High. Okay. And he was there for a short stint, but he made a huge impression on me. And then that's how I ended up going to nationals in my junior year. And I had a choice of singing choral music or jazz music, and I picked jazz.
Why?
Just because of the freedoms.
Yeah.
Right, the freedoms, okay. Right? You know, choral music was structured, and jazz was, I was allowed to improvisational, and I love that part of it. And so it was always a growing thing. It was always, you could add on to it. It was the beautiful colors that they painted. And there's nothing wrong with choral music. I love that too. My mom always wanted me to study opera, right? So she wanted to do that. So I didn't do that until I came to ISU. And so then I actually did that. But the improvisational of jazz was almost like gospel, right? So in that, you were trying to evoke emotion. You were trying to get it out of the people by the way you sang it or by the way you played it or by the way you felt it. And jazz was that same way. I'm trying to get you to feel something, trying to get you to do something.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I've had so many conversations over the last decade, especially with people on how jazz has become more cerebral. And you incorporate all these different sounds. And if you go way back in the day when jazz was just getting started, there was no delineation almost between jazz and like vaudeville and all of those different things. They were all together. You had to entertain people.
Right. I agree with you. I get a lot of that from my friends. They either don't get it, right, or they think it's boring, right? And I get that jazz might be the thinker's music. I get that, right? And everybody just wants to party. But it used to be dance music. It used to be popular
right,
music.
Right, that's what I'm getting at, yeah.
Count Basie was, you know, the Justin Timberlake of his day, right? I mean, and so was Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
Duke Ellington was as popular as any popular artist that we have in current day during his time. However, what happened was, for me, the musicians, it became more about the musician's persona and their aptitude to that great music and how difficult it was. I would say the two toughest musics to play would be classical and or jazz, right? To understand the language and the discipline and execute, right? No disrespect to any of the other genres, but it's just that I think those are the two hardest. And so at that particular point, jazz artists wanted to be like revered like classical artists. Right, so they wanted that same reckoning. And so I think that distanced them from their audience as they went to get that, hey, look at me, I'm going to give you this beautiful thing and just sit there and listen to me. Because that's what you do with the classical, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't clap until the performance is over in classical music. And so that's kind of where we are with jazz in today's world.
Some say down around the corner, half a mile from here, see the long chain run and you watch them disappear without love. Where would you be now?
What I wanted to do in the funk yard was take it back to the way it used to be, right? I wanted it to be dance music. So I wanted it to be fun again, and I wanted it to be funky again, and I wanted the people to get up and dance on them seats. I don't think my general public really knows what chord progression I'm playing. I just know if they recognize the song or not, and if they recognize it, then they're more apt to dance to it.
You don't see boundaries. When you're playing, I mean, it could be jazzy, it could be soulful, it could be gospel-y, it could be funky, or all at one, right?
Right. I want to be a great artist at the end of my day, right? Whatever that is.
Yeah.
But what it is to me is taking all of your influences, tying them together, and then delivering them. And at any given time, giving your audience something new. Can I morph it into something you know? Can I take something like Steve Miller's Fly Like an Eagle, right? And can I flip that to where it doesn't sound like, but it sounds like what you know, but sounds like something I would love to play, right?
Or Long Train Running, like
or
you have.
Or Long Train Running, oh yeah. To change those classic tunes that are beautiful and then to add some of the jazz beautiful colors to it and add some of the improvisation that comes from jazz to those things. And then I think I've just found a niche that people receive that. Right. I had there was time when people say, well, do you have to solo on every song? But Jam's band do it. Dave Matthews and those guys do it. You know, Fish and the Grateful Dead did it. And I patterned the funk yard after Dave Matthews. I loved it. I loved that he created an environment for people to come to. Right. And I remember when radio wasn't playing Dave Matthews, but people wanted to go see Dave Matthews. And I think they wanted to go see it because of the experience they had. And that's what I wanted the Funk Yard to have.
Dexter O'Neill speaking with GLT's John Norton. Dexter O'Neill and Funk Yard play jazz up front in Bloomington tomorrow night. They also play Blues for a Cause April 13th at the Monarch Music Hall in Peoria. Discover more local music and hear from artists playing in Central Illinois on the GLT Music Podcast. Find it on NPR One or your favorite podcast app.